To thank Pastor Gregory for allowing me to occupy his pulpit in his absence. Today is Women International Day of Prayer, and we will be praying. We'll be praying some more. We'll be praying for our mothers and fathers, for our families, our friends, children, and our community. This is for a Women International Day of Prayer 2020. Virtuous life in an unvirtuous world, in a dangerous world, I would say. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times, in the spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Jesus is our perfect example. He needed time to be alone with God. It is important that we too find time to be alone with God. He prayed at all times. Some of the specific times that Jesus prayed. Prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. John 17:1. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. The disciples were so impressed with Jesus' prayer life, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. The perfect sample prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You know the prayer. In heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Prayer is talking to God, expressing faith and trust in Him. The Bible said, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer may be long, it may be short, or in groups, silent or loud, but it should be true, sincere, heartfelt communication with God. Sometimes we have time for a long prayer, but other times it's just a short prayer like, Lord, save me. Prayer is one of the most important ways of connecting with God. So pray on, my friends, for you are who the Lord is looking for. Pray on, for this will tear those mighty strongholds down. Stay on your knees, for this is where the battle is won. Very soon we'll win the victory. Pray on. Pray on. Never stop praying. One day when Hannah could not no longer bear the burden of her empty womb, she went to the temple to present a supplication to the Lord. In deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, Lord Almighty, if you would only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but I will give my son to you. Then I will give him to you all the days of his life, and no razor will come upon his head. That was a prayer of desperation. God heard Hannah's prayer. James 5 verse 13 said, is there anyone among you troubled? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. My sermon this morning is entitled, Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus to have connection with him, to be like him, to serve him with humility and grace. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. The song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Stay in constant prayer. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Read his holy word. Exercise faith in him. Romans 12:12-13, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Reach out to the poor. Practice hospitality. When our eyes is on Jesus, this is what you become, and this is what you are. A what? A Christian. After being surrounded by people all day long, healing the sick, performing miracles, such as feeding the 5,000, this morning's scripture lesson is based on that story. Jesus needed to reconnect with his Father. Sometimes we too need rest, and we need to take care of ourselves, right? Maybe you can go to the beautiful island of St. Lucia with its lovely beaches and iconic mountains. Or Jamaica, especially St. Elizabeth, with its luscious fruits and beautiful sunsets. I want to go home tonight. But most importantly, we need to be able to spend time alone with God. According to Matthew 14:20-23, Jesus sent the people away. Then he made the disciple get in the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, through the Sea of Galilee, while he went on the mountain to pray. Meanwhile, Jesus was having his mountaintop experience, the boat in the middle of the sea, distressed by waves. In fact, they were going through a storm. Say a storm, everybody. We are all going through storms in our own lives. It could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be financial. Or it could be spiritual. But we have our own storms, definitely. Somebody once said, either you are in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go into a storm. But what do you do when your loved ones are snatched away from you with no warning? What do you do when you wake up in the morning and you just can't walk? What do you do when you go to your job and your boss says, I no longer need your service? I'm talking about storms. When your finances are depleted and you have no one to call, well, you just stand. Right, Sister Joanna? You just stand. Watch the Lord see you through. After you've done all you can, you just stand. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. It does not matter what is going on through in your life, stay focused. Jesus is able to fix it. He can even breathe life into our dead bones. Broken lives, broken relationships, yes, he can put them back together again. Storms were quite common on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples were fishermen, so they knew how to handle a storm. They knew how to navigate through a storm. But the Bible said it was a strong one. The winds were very boisterous. And they've been rowing the boat to keep it stable all night. They must have been tired, frustrated, lonely, in desperate need of help. And we're probably asking the question, where is Jesus when we really need him? Forgetting that he's an on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there on time. I promise you that. Ask the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. He is an on-time God. So he appeared in the fourth watch of the night, which is about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. I think that's when you're most trouble. You can't sleep when you're having trouble, right? Here comes Jesus walking on the water, gliding through. You know, every time Jesus appears in a crisis, he appears grand style, don't it? Demonstrating his godly power. Remember when God parted the Red Sea, making a highway for the Israelites to walk on dry land? What a mighty God we serve, brothers and sisters. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. What a mighty God we serve. I don't know about you, but I command my heart to praise that God. The disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea and were troubled, afraid. It's a ghost. They cried out of fear. They know what to do with a storm, but now they see a figure walking towards them underwater and don't know what to do. It's a ghost. In Jamaican terms, what would we say? It's a... But Jesus said, "It is I. Don't be afraid." What assurance. Reassuring them that help is on the way. Peter said, bold Peter, "If it is you, bid me come on the water." And guess what? To Peter's surprise, Jesus said, "Come. Come, visualize with me for a moment. You are in a boat in the middle of the storm, dark, cloudy, and you see a figure of a man desperately, apparently walking on the water. You cannot be sure what it is and what you are seeing. You are being tossed around on the boat, and the figure is going up and down. It's not possible. You never seen a man walk on water before. This must be something else. It must be a phantom. It must be some supernatural being. Wouldn't you be afraid? Be honest. Yes, you would be. Your heart would be pounding, and the hairs on your back of your head would be standing straight. But then Jesus said, "It is I. Don't be afraid." How many of us are going out of our minds with that coronavirus? Scared. Now we're doing elbow, and now we're doing footy. Scared. The shelves are empty with disinfectant. Lysols, you can't find one no more. People are scared. This world is in turmoil. Government in turmoil. Virus in turmoil. We are just scared. Now more than ever, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And Peter stood up and stepped out in faith. So I just talk about Peter a little bit. Peter loved the Lord and often kept as close as he could to him. Even when he denied Christ, he was in the courtyard as close as he could be, keeping him in sight. His love for Jesus was real. We do make mistakes. We are not perfect. I'm not perfect, although my husband said I am. But let us not lose our focus on Jesus. We fall down and we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down and get back up. Peter asked Christ, "If it is you, bid me come." So Peter is saying that if you can walk on water, so can I. You can give me the power. I know that. Peter was doing great. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. Around him was water. I imagine water splashing on his clothes and his face. But then Peter, right foot, then left foot, like a toddler taking his first step. He slowly made his way to Jesus until he took his eyes off of Christ. And he noticed the circumstances around him. Remember, the circumstances hasn't changed. Peter's focus has changed. He is probably thinking, no one else have walked on water, and now my friends are watching me doing the impossible. It is hard to keep his balance with waves going up and down under his feet. Then he noticed the wind and the waves picking up. At this point, doubt has entered and faith has departed. And he begins to sink. Isn't that the way with us when we are succeeding at something that no one else has accomplished? There is a sense of pride that overwhelms us and we are out of control. You get this? I'm all that attitude, and we are no longer relying on Jesus. We take our eyes off of him, and we begin to sink. Peter was a man who acted on impulse. He did it when he confessed his undying love for Christ, but when, and then denied him when challenged by authorities. Still, Peter was ruled by his heart. In all of this, Peter had a genuine love and absolute faith in Christ. Faith is simply taking the next step. Peter took one step to get out of the boat and into the water. Peter was just fine when he was focused on the one who called him. He got into trouble when he lost sight of him. Faith unleashes supernatural power. Peter experienced the supernatural power of God when he trusted him. The Bible says, if you have faith as the size of a mustard seed, you will be able to move mountain. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? If you do not have faith, you are in a place of doubt. Doubt is the enemy's plan to destroy our faith in God. Our prayer today is, Lord, give us faith to believe that you are all that you said you are, and you will do all you promised to do in our lives. Throughout the Bible, we see many examples of people's faith. Because of the faith, great things have happened. The blind has made to see, the lame have made to walk, and the dead has been brought back to life. Hallelujah! Hebrews 12:2 reminds us that we should always look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look to him. Without him, we are nothing. But with him, all things are possible. We should walk by faith and not by sight. We all have vision problem. At one time you were 1.25. Don't lie to me. And then after a while you are 1.75. What's going on? Our natural sight might say this is not going to happen. Our minds might say it cannot be done. Our friends might be like the other disciples and say, what are you thinking? Can you imagine the disciples watching Peter get out of the boat? What is he thinking? But faith say, go, step out, because Christ has called. George Whitfield once said, a true faith in Christ Jesus will not suffer us to idle. No, it is an active, lively, restless principle. It fills the heart so that it cannot be eased till it is doing something for Jesus Christ. Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. One of the ways that we can acknowledge is to stay focused. Peter stepped out in faith. As soon as he realized he was not in the safe confines of the boat anymore, then he took his eyes off of Christ and began to sink. Peter did not step out of the boat to impress his friends. We know Peter as being the guy who had a habit of saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. But we forget that he also had a passion for obedience. He was a man who left everything to follow Christ. When Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, Peter left everything and followed him. He wanted to obey. And when Jesus said, come the first time around, Peter did just that. Not out of fear, but out of love. If there was ever a picture of faith for us, it is Peter stepping out of the boat. He had a call on his life. He knew who was calling him. And for that reason, he was more than willing to take a risk. Jesus is calling us today to come out of our sins, come out of our failures, come out of our past mistakes. The boat seems comfortable, but he's calling us to come out in deeper waters, and he will be with us always, for he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Faith requires risk. You are not simply in putting things all online with no certainty as to what the outcome will be, because the outcome has already been determined by God. Stepping out in faith is never a step in uncertainty. Hebrews 1:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is required to please God and to remain in a steadfast relationship with him. Faith is building on your past experience with God, knowing God for yourself. Faith connects us to divine power. Fear sees our worst. Fear paralyzes us, causing us to retreat. It exacerbates the problem, keep us from moving forward. Faith sees beyond the problem. Faith liberates us. Faith is being anchored in God, who is able to keep us from falling. Psalms 50, verse 15, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me. When Peter realized he was in desperate trouble, he called out to Jesus for help. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. They went into the boat, the storm ceased, and they worshipped him. This morning, I hope you came with true worship in your heart, to worship him in spirit and in truth, because he's worthy to be praised. The focus of those who have done great things is amazingly simple, in that they keep their eyes and their focus on the task at hand. It is true in every endeavor in life. In a sport, you have to keep your eyes. If you're playing ball game, you got to keep your eyes on the ball. If you are doing repair, you need to keep your eye on the nail, lest you hit your thumb with the hammer. The same holds true in our daily walk with Christ, in that, in order to walk with him, we must keep our eyes on him. This is done in spite of the challenges, the difficulties of life. Fix your eyes on Jesus, your Lord and Savior, in spite of your trials and tribulations. Jesus is our perfect example. He came as a baby, for unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. As a baby, Herod tried to kill him, but he was unsuccessful. His friends, disciples, denied him. Judas betrayed him. He was in constant prayer. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He died on the cross for our sins. He had a purpose. He came with a mission, and nothing would distract him. You know what the song says? VIP used to sing that song. They hang him high. They stretch him wide. He hung his head. For me he died. And I call that's love. He accomplished the mission he came to accomplish. But that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. That's love. And take his rightful place. Acts 1:9 to 11 puts it perfectly. When the disciples were watching him go up into heaven, and he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight, and they were looking up intently in the sky, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking up in the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. What hope? What hope? Our journey here, in order to continue it, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. To go to the final prize, the final race, we must stay focused. There are many distractions. The journey, on the journey, storms will come. I promise you that. Coronavirus is not the last one. But if we remain steadfast, we will receive a crown of life and we'll hear the words, "Well done." The Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Anyone looking to see their loved ones again? "The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord forever and ever." We will definitely sit at the welcome table. We will wear our long white robes. We will wear our golden. Yes, we will shout. Yes, yes, one of these days. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When he will take me by the hand and lead me to the promised land. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. This afternoon, we are praying for unity in our church. We are praying for a spirit of true revival. But let us for a moment think of the things that are causing us to lose focus. Is it your house? Your beautiful house? Is it your car? Is it your money? I know the bank account is looking good. Is it your job? You got a really good job. Is it your friends? Could it be church members that you cannot get along with? What is causing you to lose focus? Young people, is it social media? We are crying like Peter today. "Lord, save me." For we know that he's coming back soon. He's coming back again. This is not the time to lose focus. This is the time to stay. Fix your eyes on Jesus, for he is coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again.
God of mercy, God of grace, God of all crucibles, O God, as we petition your throne of grace, hear, O Lord, hear our prayers, hear our cry, O God. Most times we don't even know what to ask for when the pains are rocking our bodies. We ask that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you will hear and answer our prayers. Our sins, Lord, have separated us from you. But we thank you for Jesus Christ that intercedes now at your right and on our behalf. Lord, we are asking, oh God, that you'll pour out a blessing upon us, giving us the strength to walk circumspectly, love mercy, and do justly. Father, hear our prayers when we are weak and you are strong. Hear our prayers, oh Lord, when we are sick and you are the great physician. Hear our prayers, Lord, when we find ourselves in problems and in difficulties, and you are the way maker. Father, hear our prayers, Lord, when we have no food. food. You are the one who provided the fish in the sea. Father, hear our prayers when we call upon you, O God, to deliver us, because you are the great deliverer.
Amen.
Father, hear our prayers when we don't even know what to say, but your Holy Spirit intercede on our behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes we can't even find the words to speak, but Lord, your Holy Spirit speak on our behalf. Hear our prayers, whatever the circumstance may be, whether it be great or small, you can fix the problem. And so we put it all into your hands tonight, this evening. We put it all into your hands, dear God. Every single thing, dear God, that we have no control over. Hear our prayers when we cry unto you. Hear, Lord, hear our prayers and answer according to your will. We thank you. We praise you. You have all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
We linger one more time in your presence, dear God. As we pray, we recognize that we are many times as not what we ought to be. But just because of your love, your care, your mercy, you have granted us petition. You've given us the other chances we need to be accepted into Amen. Your heavenly courts. Amen. As we beseech you. This afternoon, the men gathered on one side, the women on the other. Lord, sometimes as men, we may have gone wrong. We may not have treated them the way that we should. And we say sorry. And we ask, dear God, that you will just forgive, you will blot out, and you will make us perfect, the men that we ought to be. On the other side, dear God, the women are there. We stand together with them. They are mothers, they are daughters, they are aunts, they are nieces, and whatever category they may be in, Lord, some of them are both mothers and fathers. But in the name of Jesus, we present them to you this afternoon. Some right now are going through difficulties, problems at home, issues around with children, financial deficit. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will answer and hear the prayers. Some, God, are going through some real sicknesses. Please be the great physician, the mighty physician that now is here, the sympathizing Jesus.
Amen.
We ask, dear God, that when these set of people, one on one side, one on the other, we can unite and be one in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So when we are done with the prayer, we will reunite again. Unite us, we pray, dear God. Make us one. And as a church, we are united, both male and female. Unite us as one. Make us one in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus. Make us one. Bless our pastors. Bless our church leaders. Make us one. Make us united. Keep us under the banner of Prince Emmanuel. Because we know soon and very soon we shall see the King.
Amen.
We know the time is short. And we will see you soon. But Lord, help us, neither of us, men, women, in the hearing of my voice, will be lost from that throne. Help us to be saved into your kingdom. Blot out our transgression, we pray, dear God. Like Daniel, we pray, it is us, dear God. It is us who need you. So please, in the name of Jesus, In the mighty name of Jesus, hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord, and attend to the voice of our supplication. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.